Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Eddie coming live from Orange County, California, the soon to turn red.
Amen. California. D-Day is coming up tomorrow.
What is going on with you? You have the glow of something going on.
Is it?
I don't know. Look what's happening right there. You look great. Love.
Thank you.
I just looked over and saw this.
Oh, maybe it's because I showered.
That happens. Hello, my friends. It is Monday, September 13th.
The day before the California vote to recall our governor. September 14th. If you haven't voted, please vote.
Vote yes to recall. And then after you vote yes to recall, then vote for anybody. I don't care who you vote for. Yeah. We're voting for Larry Elder. At least I did.
We voted. Yes.
And I voted for Larry Elder.
I did too.
All right. Good.
I did too. But it doesn't matter, folks, because the votes will get counted and totaled. So just recall the governor and vote for the candidate, Republican candidate of your choice.
And I would tell you, and I'm sorry, we started off on this. Anyway, we started in this manner, but this affects, I mean, if you are in Alabama, if you are in, I don't care where you're at, California can affect everybody. If we turn this state red, it'll affect everybody. So if you are living in another state and know somebody that's still in California, tell them that get off their derrieres and get to whatever their polling place is, or look in the mail and get their ballot and vote tomorrow. We need probably three times as many as we would normally need in order to overcome the stuff that we hear that's going on. Have you seen some of the stuff that's going on already?
Yes. Well, I mean, considering I got three ballots myself, I'm not surprised.
That's true.
Yeah.
I always forget to mention that to people, that you actually got three ballots.
Yes. And I was tempted to fill out all three.
And you could have printed out.
But I didn't.
And you could have printed out more.
I could have. Endless supplies of ballots. I could have sent it out.
Nobody would have known.
And there's no way of verifying it, because as long as you are able to put the address where that voter lives, you can print them off online and make envelopes till you're blue in the face.
Yep. So crazy. It's just crazy. So we're reading.
Jesus is on the throne.
Yes, because we're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional. This is the book. And get your copy. Sorry. Get your copy. I'm a little giddy because we got some news that we probably, can we reveal it tonight or should we wait?
We should wait.
Oh gosh, darn it. All right. We'll have to wait. All right. So here we go. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional. And for today, September 13th, it's called Entering a New Realm. Now it's a long one, so you're gonna have to put up with me for just a little bit. The reference here is 1 John 5:10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The scripture reading is 1 John 5. If you are a businessman, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. For any kind of business, you need to know the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit, Satan has a tremendous power to interfere with the progress of your life. If you come into baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is a new realm for your business. I remember one day being in London at a meeting. About 11 o'clock, they said to me, "We will have to close the meeting. We are not allowed to have this place any later than 11 o'clock." There were several who were under the power of the Spirit. A man rose up and looked at me, saying, "Oh, don't leave me. Please, I feel that I do not dare be left. I must receive the Holy Spirit. Will you go home with us?" "Yes," I said, "I will go." His wife was there as well. They were two hungry people just being awakened by the power of the Spirit to know that they were lacking in their lives and that they needed the power of God. In about an hour's time, we arrived at their big, beautiful house in the country. It was wintertime. He began stirring the fire and putting coal on. And he said, "We will soon have a tremendous fire, so we will get warmed. Then we will have a big supper. And I suppose the next thing would have been going to bed." "No, thank you," I said. "I have not come here for your supper or your bed. I thought you wanted me to come with you so that you might receive the Holy Spirit." "Oh," he replied, "will you pray with us?" "I have come for nothing else. I knew I could keep myself warm in a prayer meeting without a fire." About 3:30 in the morning, his wife was as full as could be, speaking in tongues. God was doing wonderful things that night. He went to the end of the table. There he was groaning. I went to the end of the table. There he was groaning terribly. So I said, your wife has received the Holy Spirit. Oh, he said, this is going to be a big night for me. I tell you, you also will have big nights like this man had. Whether you receive the baptism or not, if you will seek God with all your heart. Oh, I often say there is more done in the seeking than in any other way. We have to get a place where we know that unless we meet face to face with God and get all the crooked places out of our lives, there will be no room for the Holy Spirit, for the indwelling presence of God. But when God gets a chance at us, and by the vision of the blood of Jesus, we see ourselves as God sees us, then we have a revelation. Without this, we are undone and helpless. At 5:00 in the morning, this man stood up and said, I am through. He was not baptized. I am settled, he continued. God has settled me. Now I must have a few hours rest before I go to my business at 8:00. My word, that was quite a day at his business. In many years, he had never lived a day like that. He went about his business among all his men, and they said, what is up with the man? What is up with the boss? What has taken place? Oh, what a change. The whole place was electrified. Formerly, he had been like a big lion prowling about, but God had touched him. The touch of omnipotence had broken this man down until right there in his business, the men were broken up in his presence. Oh, I tell you, there is something in pursuing. There is something in waiting. What is it? It is this. God slays a man so that he may begin on a new plane in his life. That night at about 10:00, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in a meeting. A short time afterward, when I was passing through the grounds towards this man's house, his two sons rushed out to where I was, threw their arms around me and kissed me, saying, you have sent us a new father. Thought for today, God turns lions into lambs. I got to say, Smith Wigglesworth has led a really odd life.
Because he goes to people's houses.
He keeps going to people's houses. Like, I would never.
That's what they used to do. That's what they used to do in the old days. You know, that's what home churches were all about.
Really?
Absolutely.
So not so odd.
Not so odd.
Every time I read this, he's like going somewhere and then they're making him dinner and saying, hey, I got a bed for you. And
yeah, I don't know. He was the preacher man.
I told you, I have a tough time staying at friends' house. I mean, people I know.
Well, he didn't want to sleep there. He's like, I don't need your bed. I don't need your fire. I just want to.
I'll just stay here till 5:00 in the morning.
Until you receive the Holy Spirit, till my job is done, and then I'm out.
All right. Please comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you've ever done this. Have you ever been praying over somebody and then it just isn't done and you keep going until it's late at night? I don't know. I've not seen this kind of thing yet. Well,
the road is long. We got a while to go.
I have more thoughts, but the second time reading, I just got distracted about this. Like, we're at this meeting. Like, what does he mean by a meeting? What's he call? Is he calling like a Bible study?
Yeah, Bible study. I think the way he describes it, it wasn't the way we see church. It was more like we did at Mariama's house that night on Friday night. It's more like a home church where people are in the Spirit. You don't have a set program. You're allowing the Spirit to dictate how the meeting is going to go. Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading this, I was, of course, thinking of Priscilla. I just wish this would have happened to her old boss at some point. See, Priscilla, you needed to go home with this guy and pray with him until...
Lay hands on him until he received the Holy Spirit.
That all sounds so wrong.
Lay hands on him, not in an inappropriate way.
Right, until 5:00 in the morning.
In the Jesus kind of way.
Yes. So what comes to mind with you? You had a few things that you talked about during our first reading.
Well, I just thinking of my own walk and this, where he describes that when there's more done in the seeking than in any other way, because we have to get to a place that we know unless we meet face to face with God and get all the crooked places out of our lives, there'll be no room for the Holy Spirit. Mm. So I know that leaving Islam, leaving DC, losing all my social network, my family had to be done for to make space for the Holy Spirit, just to make space for my walk with Christ. And then the end where he says, it is this, God slays a man so that he may begin on a new plane in his life. And it's really in the deepest, darkest places that you really meet God. And I know you've often described that you weren't in a particularly dark place that night in Salt Lake City.
Yep.
But I think you in its entirety were in a dark place. You were undone. You had reached the end of Andy Falco extraordinaire, you know,
living legend,
you know, in terms of running your family businesses, you know what I mean? It's just
screwing
like,
things up.
Yeah. We just reach the end of ourselves, and that's the place where we meet God. And yesterday we were talking to our audience about how do you know you receive the Spirit? How do you receive the Spirit? And I think Smith Wigglesworth is continuing that narrative. Like, you got to get to a place where you're undone. And the Lord will meet you there. He'll meet you right where you are. But there's got to be space for him. If you've got it all together and you think you're in control and life is perfect, there's very little room for God in that space. Mm-hmm. You get to a place, you're quite blessed when you get to a place where you reach the end of yourself.
For sure. I know that. Priscilla said no thank you to
going home with the boss.
Going home with the boss or laying hands on him.
Probably both.
All right. So you may have hit this during your description, but I want to kind of focus on this issue because obviously Smith Wigglesworth put it in here for a reason where he had spent, he was at the meeting. The guy says, I need more. I need more of this. So if we can't stay here till
I need a one-on-one.
So we can't stay here till 5 o'clock in the morning. We'll go to my house. You'll go there with my wife and I. And yet he prayed. The wife was baptized. The wife began speaking in tongues. The man was not. Mm-hmm. The man did not get it done. But he had had enough, apparently. Or he said, I gotta go to work. Mm-hmm. So he writes this, Smith, in this devotional that the man was not done. But he was also but even though he wasn't done, he was able to go to work.
And be
still be a different man.
Right.
But then that night again, Smith's still not going home. I wonder if Smith's wife's going like, where's this guy? He like didn't have cell phones.
They're probably used to it.
Did he send like a homing pigeon? Hey, go tell my wife I'm busy with this. His wife's probably used to it. So it's not until that night at 10 o'clock.
Oh, the mental note, I'm not going to be used to it if you don't come home for 48 hours.
I got my phone. I left my charger home. Yes. So then he has all that day at work where everybody thinks, wow, this guy's different.
Right.
But he wasn't baptized.
You did not.
Okay. And so then that night, apparently Smith goes back home with him again. The food was good. And then the kids, how'd the kids know that he had changed? Like the kids, he wasn't home yet. He says the kids come running out and give him the guy's kiss.
This is the second night.
I know, but he'd only slept and then they went to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm wondering how the kids know. Again, there's no internet. There's no, like, he didn't put a Facebook post saying, hey, I was saved today. No. So I just think it's interesting.
Okay, wait, no. So the day he goes to work, goes home, Smith doesn't get to him until 10 o'clock that night.
Oh, doesn't get there until 10 o'clock. Okay, yes. Good. I'm glad you're here.
All day he was at work and then he went home. And then he received the Holy Spirit at 10 o'clock at night at a meeting.
Okay, so what's the purpose behind that? I mean, he's saying that you can be changed by God and yet not baptized. But then when the Holy Spirit enters you, now you've really, why did Smith take the time to show that the guy was changed, but yet not baptized and then came later and was baptized? Do you think?
The touch of omnipotence has broken this man down until right there in his business, the men were broken up in his presence. So he had been touched by the Spirit for sure, but was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And to tell you the truth, this This notion of it happening in phases is confusing to me. I'm not familiar with the idea of it happening in phases. This is relatively new. To Smith, meaning he hasn't described it before as this kind of progressive process.
Well, I was going to say, I was hoping you knew, because I think that happened to me.
That it happened in phases.
Yeah.
And I think I had the
experience of Salt Lake City where I touched Jesus' face and was in this presence, and it was almost shocking. It was almost like, did that just like really? And then seeing the demon possessed woman,
right,
have the demon leave her body through the help of a woman who's filled with the Holy Spirit, telling the devil to go away. I just remember none of it was clear as to what had just happened. Like I'd see the greatness of God and I'd see the power of the devil, yet the greatness of God overpowered the devil.
Right.
Right. So I had to leave on the plane. I had my carry-on luggage there with me in the room. I was almost late to my plane because of all the shenanigans that was going on in the meeting.
Right.
Got on the plane and was like, I'm sure I didn't talk to anybody. I'm sure I didn't say anybody.
Which is rare.
I fly.
Andy's that guy you sit next to on the plane who's like, where are you from? Where are you going? How are you? Put in earpods and I'm like trying to pretend like I'm not going to speak to anybody.
So then I fly home and it took a while. I wish it would have just taken the next day, but it took a while. And then it was not until later that I found the church, Calvary Temple Chino Hills. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 6 months later.
Okay.
And walked into that church and then it all came together.
Well, there you have it.
I was just hoping you had a reason why. Like this, like it's different for everybody.
I think so. Hmm. Yeah, I can't explain that. I guess mine was kind of similar in the sense that I had a miraculous encounter, sat up and flipped out. You know what I mean? I was like, oh no, now what do I do? You know? And then mine was also a process. I think my baptism by water was a seal for me. Like I really felt like that was a very transformative moment in my walk. And I have spoken in tongues in prayer, but I'm at a loss for words. I got to tell you, I don't know why he describes it as a progressive.
That doesn't
process.
Happen very often.
I know. I mean, this whole thing is the way Smith goes. So remember, we have to take everything that someone says, whoever they are, past or living, from the lens in which they are teaching us the gospel. And so he's Pentecostal.
Yep.
So he believes in a certain doctrine about the Holy Spirit and being baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so his teaching is all colored by that perspective. So we have to understand that based on what God is speaking to our hearts, that it may be a different understanding.
Sometimes when I'm reading it, I have to remember that as I'm reading it, because I can get so distracted by when he said tongues again, like, oh man, there he goes with the tongues. And I just want to say hi to Danielle. She joined us.
Hi, Danielle.
She's a little late to the party. So explain what omnipotence is. I know what omnipresence is, and there's another omni. What's the other omni? Omnipresence, omni.
I think that's what he means. Omnipotent, you know, potency, power. Mm-hmm. So all present power.
The ultimate power.
Yeah. All present. So not omni is omnipresent, meaning always present. So mm-hmm. The all present power.
Very good. I was hoping for a longer explanation.
we can look it up and see what the official Webster Dictionary definition is.
Let's see.
But I also love that a thought for the day is that he turns lions into lambs, because mm-hmm. I've definitely had that experience myself as well, where the Lord has turned me from a lion to a lamb at some stages.
Yep. Omnipotence is the quality of having unlimited power. Monotheistic religions generally attribute omnipotence only to the deity of their faith. In the monotheistic religious philosophy of Abrahamic religions, omnipotence is often listed as one of a deity's characteristics, along with omniscience. I knew there were other ones I couldn't remember. They were omniscience, omnipresence, and benevolence. Blah. Bolivia. Does that satisfy the?
Yeah. All present, unlimited power.
Unlimited power. That is pretty crazy. Unlimited power. There's nothing that we could even imagine. It's so beyond what our brains could conceive of.
And I love that thought of when Moses encounters, I almost said Musa, like my Arabic comes back to my head, that when he wanted to see God, God said, look at the mountain, because he couldn't carry the weight of looking at him directly and the mountain shattered. Is that power, that omnipotence, is now dwelling without it inside of us.
Wow.
So were we to truly experience God's power and walk in the Spirit at every moment of our lives, we have unlimited power at our disposal through the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's just, we don't know how to bring it up. I think in so many ways, like how to use it and how to use it effectively. I mean, the scientists talk about that we only use a very small fraction of our brain.
Right.
That we have so much more that we just.
And imagine how much less of our spiritual power we use than even our brains.
mostly because we get in the way.
Yes, absolutely. I know I get in the way all the time.
All right, let's get to the scripture. It's we just have one for today. So I'll let you take over for 1 John 5, obedience by faith.
Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So if we truly love God, we obey his law, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water. And so this is in reference to baptism by spirit versus baptism of water. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And that's the surety of which we should understand our baptism. These things I've written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. So you may know. So you should absolutely know that you have eternal life. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and the eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Amen. That's deep. Don't even ask me to like interpret all of that. That's so
no. What I saw there was what the man from yesterday. That's his name.
Ed Heinsohn.
Ed Heinsohn. Oh my gosh. When I believe it was him, it may have been Jack, but he said that, and this is at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, they had a guest speaker yesterday. But when he said, nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about the Trinity.
The word
it doesn't say Trinity. The right. word Trinity is not in the Bible.
Right.
But here we have where it the is explained. Yeah.
Exactly. Same that he was making the analogy to the rapture, that the word the rapture is not in the Bible, but the concept of being caught up certainly is.
Right. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Oh, no, I'm sorry. In heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
And he's saying that though that's the earthly manifestation of what's bearing witness in the heavens. Mm. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Word being Jesus, are mirrored on earth as a witness in the Spirit that's within us, the water and the blood.
That is so cool. Wow. I'm glad we read that.
Yeah.
That is awesome. There was one other part. Now I can't remember what it was. I got so distracted by the Trinity issue. Because there was a couple things. He said, the Bible's not in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. What was exactly. that? That's what I started thinking. I'm trying to remember all the things that he said.
These three. It was the Bible, the Trinity, and the rapture.
And the rapture is not in the Bible. And then there was like something else that popped up later on, but now I can't remember what it was. That is so good, though. Good. Just the words, the way that they're laid out, when you're not prepared with the Holy Spirit, when you're not prepared to hear the word, mm-hmm. it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And when you read it now, it makes sense.
Oh, I love that. Because giant portions of this are not making sense to me right now. Not that they don't make sense, but that as I read them, I am praying to the Holy Spirit to expand them for me, mm-hmm. for me to truly understand, because I got caught up here. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself and the wicked one doesn't touch him. I'm a little perplexed by that statement. Because we're told constantly that we don't reach perfection until we die. Maybe that's what he's referring to, but that we all sin until that time. And the wicked one doesn't touch us, but I thought, you know, we're affected by Satan all the time.
I thought he was talking about, so here's my thought on that just that one on 18, is that he's talking about Jesus.
But we are also born of God.
Yes. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So then he goes to talk about it. And then I thought 19, he was talking about us. So you got Jesus and then he was talking about us. That's how I read it. Maybe I don't understand as much as I thought.
No, maybe.
But that's how I felt when it was coming.
We're going to have to look
and
that up, folks.
We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So I thought he was like setting it up that here's Jesus, who was born of God and does not sin. And he who has been born of God keeps himself and the wicked one does not touch him. So the devil has no way of hurting, of causing him to sin, because he was born of God.
I could see that.
We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, because we're here in the world.
That sounds good.
Look at that.
Yeah. I like that.
Well, again, like I said, when I've heard it before, and if anybody
listening,
Danielle or Priscilla or whoever else may be on, because we have a number of people on. If all of you that have not commented yet, if you get a chance to comment, whether you can comment now or later, you may be driving. And just let us know.
And we're in 1 John 5:18. if you know who the Lord is specifically speaking about when he says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, is he referring only to Christ as being born of God?
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, that would definitely make more sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've said this before you were had joined me, which I we should know when that is, when you the first show we did together as a...
Yeah, sometime in September.
Sometime in September. Really?
Mm-hmm. No, sorry, October.
I was going to say.
We met in October, so it wasn't before we met.
Yeah. I used to give the, not the admonishment, the disclaimer. I used to give a disclaimer. I said, listen, I'm talking about these things, but I'm telling you, I'm learning.
And well, I think we give that disclaimer often.
Yeah, we need to make always, but I just want to make sure that we are learning along with you. That some of the things we talk about is that we need to know if what we're saying is right or wrong.
I love that. Look at Danielle's vibing with Andy's interpretation.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Danielle.
I'm going to sleep good tonight. I'm going to have a good night tonight.
Awesome. I love that.
She's vibing.
She's vibing.
I like it. The only thing I want to show you is we had come up with new artwork. And I just want to show it here on the screen. Those of you that are on the podcast cannot see this, unfortunately. But if you need to go to theandyfalcoshow.com, if you're on our podcast, on any one of the platforms, you can see it there in the video. But I just wanted to see, this is our new artwork that we are coming up with because we are we're adding a platform. And we'll announce it later because it's really exciting. Hedy came up with a great idea that she wanted to kind of have us out there so people can see what we look like.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to put one on with her and her head cover.
Oh, man.
That didn't so good.
Why? Why would we put one with me in a head cover?
I don't know.
The old man is dead.
It would have been great if the podcasting platforms allowed you to put one of those, I don't know what they're called. I think they're 3D.
The hologram?
Yeah, photograph. Whatever it is when you look at it and you turn your head a little bit or shift and it changes. Like it shows you with your head cover on. And then if you move slightly, then it shows you without your head cover. Huh. That would be awesome. Like a GIF. Like if they had a GIF where it would go back and forth between you and your head cover. Now, that would be awesome. Someday they're going to come up with that. And that's what we're going to do.
No.
What?
When I did the 700 Club interview,
yeah,
they asked me to reenact the pieces about me and Islam. And I refused to put the head cover on. They had to get a reenactment, an actress to do it. I don't identify with it at all.
Well, I wouldn't say I didn't want you to put it on. We're going to use an old photograph.
Yeah, for why?
Just because I thought, I don't know. Maybe not. Welcome to one of our discussions not on camera. I told her.
Feel free to comment.
I told her yesterday.
You can wear a picture with a head cover.
Yes,
I despise those pictures.
No, it's one where you're like looking like this with a head cover on. And then the next picture is that one where you're like, and you see that like, you're so much happier. It's like the difference between a Democrat and a Republican. Like you see the Democrat. And then the Republican.
Wow.
And all that.
Yeah.
October 17th. Priscilla knows all the dates. That's the day we met. That's the day we met.
I don't know if it's the first day I'm on the devotional.
No, definitely not the first day. It took a while before I trusted you enough to hand over a mic to you. I had my thing going on.
Are you kidding? That's how you first hit on me. You're like, I want to do an interview of you.
Well, I interview, but that wasn't like, I wasn't yet. After the interview, I go, she's joining me on this podcast.
That's it.
I'm just going to wait a little while.
Cool.
Yes, look cool. And then present the idea. And then you said,
really? Really?
He gave me that look. Was that today or yesterday when I said, you know, that look you give?
Yeah.
that look that you are crazy. you are about ready to walk off that ledge.
No.
But yeah, how come nobody's commenting?
I don't know.
Maybe they're afraid of you giving them that look.
I don't think so.
But I think that would be good. Like you're sitting like this, like with your head cover on, and then it shifts, then the gift turns to you smiling. I know I've said it more than once, but I just was hoping somebody would see my point.
Too bad.
Or comment if you like the way the direction we've gone. And I'm sure it is because it's Hedia's idea. I like that picture. That was that was a selfie with the hand. It looks like somebody took it with a camera.
Yes.
What are you kicking me for? It looks like a professional did it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm just a fantastic photographer.
You are. You are. It is a fantastic photograph.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
I love the new picture. Thank you. All right. So we can use it because Daniel said so. All right. Anything else on our devotional?
No, I think that's...
Are you vibing with me like Daniel is?
Yes. I love that explanation.
That's just what I got. So let's see. If anybody else has any ideas, if you're watching on any of the other platforms or you're watching the replay, let us know what your thoughts are. Go to it yourself and read it yourself. Go to John 5 and read the whole thing.
But yeah, when you get to 18, John 5 is deep, folks.
When you get to 18 through, it's called Knowing the True, Rejecting the False is the title of this particular section. At least it is on, what are we on? Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway is it gets down to 18 to 21, 18 to 21. That's where we are. So go there, read it, and let us know what you think. All right, my love. We only have a few hours left until California turns
big
red.
Big day tomorrow, yes, folks. We're really excited. Please keep California in your prayers.
Yes.
And it's not a Republican-Democrat thing, much to my husband's explanation. It's a God thing. We want a governor who respects the right to life and the right for us to do with our bodies what we choose. We do not want mandatory injections of any sort. And we want to protect our kids and what they're learning in school. And so this is really about the policies, not the party. It's about the policies and candidates that support biblical policies.
Absolutely. And again, those of you that are watching in other states, send an email to your family or friends that live in California and encourage them to vote. Maybe they just don't feel like getting up and voting and they haven't really decided. It's important. It just, he'll only be in power if he is voted in. Just look at it this way. We've got nothing but shenanigans for the last couple of years with Gavin being in power and just wasted money and all kinds of stuff. So Elder will be in power for a few months. I forget how long it is. It's like 3 to 6 months, something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
then we'd have another formal election.
Yep. Then the next election takes over. So it is well worth it. We definitely don't want him in for a second term. Everybody should know that. I mean, just look.
Newsom.
Yeah. We don't want him. Give Elder a chance to see what he can do for a couple months and see what, if he does the things that he says he'll do. I mean, it's just a few months. It's worth it, I think.
Priscilla asks us to pray, so we'll do that before we leave.
Yes.
And Danielle's suggesting we read a couple different versions of the Bible to get a clearer understanding. Yes, this is another one of those things I'm going to look up on Logos too to see some commentary on what the verse means, because that's always really helpful for me.
I kind of like it that I'm currently in the lead for being kind of correct. So let's not. No, I'm just kidding. I do want to find out for sure. And then Danielle said her mom and her voted. That's not really good English, but they voted in person yesterday or today. That's awesome. Good job. And I hope you voted the right way.
For sure.
All right, Hedia. You're going to pray for California.
Yes. Dear Lord, we come to you. We sit at your feet. At your throne, and we plead for mercy. We plead for respite for our people, for our country, for our nation, and more specifically for our state, for the state of California. For you say that if your people come to you and just pray and ask, that you will listen to our prayers. And so we're asking you, we ask that we stand in the gap for all of the unborn, for all of the people who do not know you, so that we may have a leader, Lord, that respects the right to life and that does not offer child sacrifices to idols, and that does not use our children in pawns towards demonic plots, Lord. We want your grace, your mercy, and your protection over all of our children. It doesn't matter whether they're believers or not, but we know that the biblical principles protect all, and we want that protection over our families and over our lives, over our cities, over our communities. And so we ask you, Lord, we ask you to allow this to be possible. We know at the end, we're awaiting the Lord Jesus Christ to return, and that there's a great falling away, and there's destruction on earth, and there is people given over to debased mind, Lord. But we want a reprieve. We want a respite, however long it may last, Lord. And so we're asking this favor of you. And we hope that we honor you, and we worship you, and we hope we honor you in all that we do as your sons and daughters, as the righteousness of Christ that dwells within us after receiving the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that we ask that your Holy Spirit fall fresh on us, that we falls fresh on us and our family members and on our communities, and that there is revival and renewal in our hearts, Lord. And we ask this all in the precious name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And the believers said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. Thank you, Priscilla and Danielle, for commenting. And we look forward to telling you our good news soon, hopefully by the end of the week.
Yes. All right. We love you guys. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.